Now will you notice, I'm coming now to chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They had a good old cry that evening. Israel now has come to the place of decision. They've got to decide whether they're going to enter or not. And we are finding that Israel refuses to enter, and the reason is unbelief. They refuse to enter because of unbelief. And the writer to the Hebrews puts it just that way. In Hebrews 3, in verse 7 down to 19, you have the entire incident given. And he concludes it by saying, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That was the thing that kept them out of the land. Now I want to read on here. Verse 2 of chapter 14. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we died in this wilderness. And I'm of the opinion that at this time, poor Moses and Aaron wished they had died in the wilderness, gotten rid of them, because, my, here they go complaining again, and they do not want to enter in. Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Now notice, in the bad frame of mind that they're in, that they say that our wives and our children should be a prey. Now, the lame excuse they used was that our children will perish, and we're thinking of them. But it was a reflection on God that he was not thinking of them. And the fact of the matter is, who was it that really entered the land? Well, it was the new generation that entered the land. That new generation went in. The crowd that these old people said, well, we're thinking of them. But the fact of the matter is, God was the one thinking of them, and they were not thinking of them at all. They should have been in a position to have trusted God. Now will you notice? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. They want to go back now. They want to turn back and return back to the land of Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Now, these two men, Caleb and Joshua, they brought back the same report in the sense the facts were the same, but their interpretation is different. They said, we can enter the land. What is the difference? God. When you see yourself in the presence of giants as a grasshopper, that's when you need God, my friend. And this is the time these people certainly needed God on the scene. And at this time, Moses is making it very clear to these people that the report is one they're either going to have to accept or reject, and that only if God will delight in them, and he can't delight in them unless they believe, unless they trust him. And verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. I think our expression today, our idiom would be, they'd be duck soup for us. Now will you notice, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord's with us. Fear them not. This is a difference between faith in God and those that do not have faith in God. Now verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Have you noted that every time there's a rebellion or murmuring or complaining, the glory of the Lord appears? God's highly displeased with this rebellion against him. Now verse 11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence, and disinherit them, and make of thee a great nation, and mightier than they. God says to Moses, I'll destroy them, I'll get rid of them, and then I'll make a nation from you and fulfill my promises in you. Now, will you notice this? Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord is not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them. In other words, the report, the rumor would go around. Well, God was able to bring them out of Egypt, but he wasn't able to put them into the land. He wasn't able to complete that which he had begun. And Moses calls the Lord's attention to that. And now God agrees to go ahead and put them into the land. And he gives this great prophecy here. It's the first time prophecy, and it occurs many, many times in Scripture. It's verse 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. God brought these children out of the land of Egypt and put them in the promised land. And God has saved you. And God has a plan and a purpose he's working on. And he's doing all this that this earth someday is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord. And we find now that Caleb and Joshua are singled out. They are different. Verse 24, God is speaking now. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. That's the promise God made to him, and God made it good. Now we find God's answer to these people who actually cast a reflection on God that he wasn't thinking of their children. Listen to verse 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. In other words, that murmuring crowd, they are not going to enter in, but the children will enter in. Notice verse 31 then. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. They would be the ones that would enter the land. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And what a picture that is. Now we come here in the last part of this chapter. The children of Israel now, they want to, after crying and starting away from the place, they look into what's ahead of them, and they now are more afraid, actually, of the wilderness than they are of the land that they were to enter. And it's for them a lost opportunity, will you notice, verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we've sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord's not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemy. In other words, it's a lost opportunity. They wouldn't go in when God commanded it. Now they presume. It's presumption now to go up. Faith is not presumption, but this is presumption. Verse 44, but they presumed to go up under the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in the land, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. In other words, the children of Israel now are wanting to do it their way rather than God's way, and there's no blessing.